Now, I don't know if you know this, but lacrosse as a team sport was hoping to be in the Olympic Games in 2028. And what they do, the Olympic Committee, is that they have these World Games, and sports who are aspiring to be part of the real Olympics, they take part in the World Games. And, you know, everyone can see how it works, and it's sort of like an apprenticeship for the real Olympics. Well, the Irish lacrosse team were supposed to take part in the World Games in 2022, but they've got loads of praise for withdrawing from the tournament. That seems odd. Well, the reason they withdrew was to make way for Native American lacrosse team, the Iroquois Nationals. And I don't know if you knew this, but lacrosse is a Native American sport. And to tell me more about all of this is the CEO of Lacrosse Ireland, Michael Kennedy. How you doing, Michael?
How are you, Ray?
Good to talk to you. And on the line from the United States of America, we have Rex Lyons of the Iroquois Nationals. How you doing, Rex?
Great. Thank you, David. How you doing, Michael?
Good, thanks. Thanks, Rex.
Just David is the producer, Rex, just so we don't get confused. My name's Ray.
Ray, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay. I know you've been talking to David. That's fine. So, Michael, will you just explain lacrosse to people who don't know what it is?
Well, Ray, I would certainly defer to Rex on that.
Okay,
inventors of the sport. But what I would say, Ray, for an Irish audience, that the closest thing, or what I typically describe it as, a combination of hurling and ice hockey. It's a field sport. Tennis side, you can go behind the goals like you can in ice hockey, 6v6 size goals, and lots of equipment. You know, it's very physical. That's just on the surface of it. I would certainly defer to Rex to really tell you about the sport.
Okay, Rex, the history of lacrosse, please.
Sure. Well, its origins, it's a medicine game, and we're Onondaga Nation, which is my nation. I'm a citizen of Onondaga Nation, which is one of the nations in the Iroquois Confederacy, known as the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, which the French called Iroquois, and the English called Six Nations.
Uh-huh.
So going way back in time, when there was the Jesuit missionaries, they were witnessing us playing our game, because we played it in ceremony. We also played it, you know, as a community, you know, to exercise and do things to keep the vitality of our community, that kind of thing. And the stick reminded the Jesuits at the time of the crozier. So that's how the term lacrosse came.
Uh-huh, because I thought it was French. I thought it was French in origin because of the name, but there you go. So the Six Nations are Seneca, right. Cayuga, Onondaga, Oneida, Mohawk, and Tuscarora.
Correct.
Yes, and they're the Six Nations that make up the Iroquois Nationals.
Yes.
So why didn't you have a place in the World Games in 2022, Rex?
Well, a couple reasons, and one of them being we travel under our own documentation, because we've always had a very unique and complicated situation, because our territories are in both the United States and Canada.
Right.
And that border kind of separates us, and we didn't put that border there, but it does create some complications, you know, geographically speaking. And, you know, as one knows, you really don't ask for permission to be sovereign. We've never changed our position ever since, you know, first meeting our European brothers who came across the water. We've always been who we are and continue to be who we are. So we travel under our own passports, and we don't have a barcode because of the complex nature of having Canada and the U.S. and the Haudenosaunee agree on the terms and conditions, because, as you know, there's very sensitive ongoing issues in our First Nation territories that have to do with politics, title to land, extraction, all of those kinds of things that can be very complicated and very sensitive. So needless to say, it's not an easy solution, and it's always been something that we've been trying to navigate ever since the inception of the Iroquois Nationals back in 1983. But in its inception, you know, that was part of the mindset, was that we would use lacrosse as a vehicle to help us implement our sovereignty and to be self-determined. And while doing this, sharing our game with the world, it's amazing what's happened. You know, we could have never dreamed that it's potentially going to be an Olympic sport, which is just really is overwhelming and kind of blows our mind when you think about it.
Yeah, it's a bit like hurling becoming an Olympic sport.
Right, correct.
Yeah. So the Haudenosaunee, is that recognized, your passport, is that recognized by international authorities?
It is. It is, but we always have to get a letter of invitation, and not every country. Some countries don't recognize it.
Okay.
But most of the ones we do, the way we've had to go about it is we get a letter of invitation from the country we intend to visit, and then we have to go to their consulate and get a visa. And that's kind of the way we've been handling that.
But, so you very cleverly, and by sleight of hand in a way, which is very important in playing lacrosse, you're getting your political message out through sport.
Exactly. You know, when you have a few of the major powers of the world standing at attention and respect to your flag and to your national anthem, both which we had to create because we didn't have such things, you know. But it's been an interesting journey. But it's very powerful when that happens.
I don't know if you know this, Rex, but this is the summer of Irish Native American relations, because earlier on in the year, there was a fundraiser for the Navajo Nation and the Hopi Reservation. And they were being ravaged by the COVID-19 pandemic. And they put out a call for help. And a lot of the money they received was from Ireland. And that's because more than 170 years ago, the Choctaw Nation sent $170. It was a lot back then, seems a paltry amount now, but they sent $170 to starving Irish families during the potato famine in the 1840s.
Right, I'm aware of that.
Yeah,
I'm aware of that, and it's extraordinary that I was talking to Michael about that. I'm sure you're aware that Limerick's going to be hosting the U19s, which is actually the U20 World Games next summer, if all things go well with the virus. Things might hopefully return to some sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
And we were discussing the possibility of bringing the Choctaws over to play stickball.
Aha.
You know.
So when you say stickball, what do you mean?
It's a two-handed version of lacrosse.
Okay.
It's their own kind of version, because there's different versions of lacrosse all across the Northern Hemisphere from indigenous people. Ours is the one-stick version, and we play with a longer field and have a little different approach to it. But it's basically the same thing. They're both very rough and tumble with spiritual and medicinal properties that are attached to it. But also, you know, like I said, for the vitality and done as a sport.
So
your
ancestors would have used lacrosse as a link to the gods, would they?
Well, we call this the creator's game, you know.
Okay.
And it has a spiritual connection. And one thing I wanted to that's very important to understand, that I don't think there is very many sports that might have this direct spiritual connection to it. As you know, most indigenous populations are very attached to nature and have great reverence for it and great understanding to it. And we work with it. We work within all of, you know, around the lunar clock in all of its rhythms and its different patterns that we, you know, that we have great respect for and that we depend upon. So lacrosse is one of the things that we do. Now, the sticks are made from hickory, at least back in the day. That's where the origins are from, which has its own spiritual connection. And the stick from the hickory tree, when the stick maker goes into the forest and he looks for a tree that kind of presents itself, because you need certain characteristics, you know, to make a good stick. And there's a relationship right out of the gate from the stick maker and the tree, where they agree to collaborate to play this. We give thanks for the tree giving its life, so that we can play the creator's game, because we believe that it makes him very happy to watch us play this game.
Uh-huh. Michael, come back in there now. We have the full history. So this is a very selfless thing that you've done, and Lacrosse Ireland have done, by giving up your place in the World Games in 2 years' time to the Iroquois Nationals. So talk us through how it happened.
Well, I can dovetail with some of the information there, I think, that Rex has provided and that you have highlighted, Ray. So the event in the World Games in 2022, it's actually a version of the normal field discipline. So men's field lacrosse is 10-a-side typically, and the pitch is about the size of a soccer pitch.
Right.
Now, in as part of the pathway towards pursuing Olympic inclusion, we're looking at a modified version of the game. So, like, the best example to give is, like, rugby sevens. Shorter games, less people. You know, that's more palatable for the Olympics because, the Olympics is all about breadth, So you can't have big, long games and huge rosters and things like that. So the version that's being played in 2022 in Birmingham, Alabama, is a 6v6 version. But we've never had an international competition of that version previously. So it was determined that the invite list for the 8 teams to be included in that event would be based on the men's, World Lacrosse World Championship, which took place in 2018 in Israel. And it was funny, I was in Israel for that event and I was presenting on the U19, men's U19 World Championship that Rex noted we were due to host this summer, which has now been postponed to next June at the University of Limerick. And as part of my presentation, as Rex said, the Iroquois often have had trouble traveling to tournaments.
Yes.
So they were actually excluded from the men's world championship in 2010 in Manchester in the UK. So as part of my presentation on the event in Limerick, I had a picture of Leo Varadkar meeting the Choctaw Nation, thanking them for the donation that they made during the famine. And I was saying, Ireland is open to this, and I really hope that that relationship will make it easier for us to ensure the safe travel and the easy travel of the Iroquois to Limerick for our event. So anyway, the tournament, the World Championship in Israel, we ended up in 12th position in that event. The Iroquois came third. There were some other teams that finished above us. The Philippines and Puerto Rico, for example, finished ahead of us. But at that time, they were only what's called associate members of World Lacrosse, which meant they could compete in that tournament, but their final ranking wouldn't count towards any future events.
So Ireland got a place, but the Iroquois Nationals didn't. And you stepped in and very selflessly offered the Iroquois Nationals Ireland's place.
That's it. We were actually the last place. Like, we would be going into that event as the 8th place team.
Okay.
And then there was this big campaign to include the Iroquois. And as soon as we were made aware that World Lacrosse and the World Games Association would be receptive to the Iroquois' inclusion, for us, the writing was on the wall. We were the final team. It would be our place they would take. And we said, the right thing to do is to make that pathway for them as easy as possible. So we vacated our position in the tournament to create a pathway for the Iroquois.
Swings and roundabouts. You'll get your reward further down the line for doing this, I'm sure. Rex Lyons of the Iroquois Nationals, thanks for taking our call today. And Michael Kennedy, CEO of Lacrosse Ireland, thank you too. And good luck to you both.